picture a galaxy for a second. You know, you are looking at this vast, stylized, glowing cosmic cloud.
Yeah, just totally filled with stars.
Right, absolutely filled with stars. And it's breathtaking to look at, but it is, I mean, it's completely chaotic. There are no borders, no defined pathways, no structure, just this massive expanse of radiating
Oh, my God,
energy.
it's totally untamed. You couldn't build anything out there.
Exactly. Imagine trying to build a reliable highway system in the middle of all that without any
It
gravity.
would just drift apart
Yeah.
or, crash into something else. You need a map. And you need foundational gravity first.
Yeah, and that image is actually the very first thing you see when you open up this fascinating paper we're looking at today. It's from April 2026 by Adam Boas.
Titled, "The Next AI Bottleneck is Delegated Authority."
Right. And frankly, it is just the perfect visual metaphor for where we find ourselves with artificial intelligence right now.
Yeah.
We have this beautiful, chaotic explosion of capability, but we have like almost no structural gravity.
Which is why the current public conversation is just so frustrating to watch.
Oh, totally.
The entire industry is arguably looking in the exact wrong direction. I mean, everyone is still obsessing over generation.
Right, like which model writes the best email or whatever.
Exactly. Or which one scores the highest on a standardized legal exam. They are staring at the bright stars and completely ignoring the dark matter.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you are listening to this deep dive right now, welcome, by the way, to the learner out there. We know you are looking for the actual signal in the noise.
You want to know what's really happening.
Right, past all the marketing hype. And the core premise we're exploring today is that the people arguing about AI models, well, they're missing the fundamental bottleneck entirely.
Yeah, the barrier holding back the next technological leap, it isn't generation. It's governed delegated authority.
Governed delegated authority. So we're talking about what it actually takes to trust a piece of software that can step out into the real world and, you know, act on your behalf.
That is the pivotal shift right there. And we know it's the real bottleneck because, look, the major government agencies are aggressively pivoting.
Like NIST and DARPA,
Yeah,
right?
NIST, DARPA, the Department of Defense, they're moving away from just evaluating a smart AI in a sterile lab setting.
Right. They don't care if it can pass the bar exam in a vacuum anymore.
Exactly. They're demanding safe, acting AI out in the wild. The fundamental strategic shift of our time is not going from no AI to some AI. It's the transition from human hours being amplified to agent hours being delegated.
Agent hours being delegated. I love that phrasing. But to really grasp why the government is suddenly setting up all these new standards, we have to start by understanding how the software itself is just fundamentally mutating.
Yeah, we are officially moving out of the era of apps and into the era of agents.
And that distinction is huge.
It requires a completely different mental model. I mean, agents are not apps. If you try to treat an agent like an app, you're going to lose control of your system incredibly fast.
Let's break down why that is. Because think about how an app operates, right? An app executes inside a fixed, highly predictable envelope.
Yeah, it's very contained.
Right. You give it an input, it processes that specific input, and it returns an output. It's like a power tool.
Like a drill.
Yeah, exactly. A circular saw or a drill only spins when your finger is actively squeezing the trigger.
And the second you let go, it stops.
Right. But an agent is like hiring an ambitious, maybe kind of aggressive contractor, handing them your corporate credit card, pointing at your house, and saying, remodel the kitchen.
What's fascinating here is the sheer autonomy of that contractor. According to the text, an agent doesn't just sit there waiting for your next prompt.
It's proactive.
Highly proactive, it plans, it selects its own sequence of actions, it reaches out and, uses tools.
It navigates different systems.
Yeah, it traverses digital systems. And it
Yeah.
can actually modify external state.
Meaning, like, it changes data or triggers real-world events.
Exactly. It negotiates with other agents. And the critical piece here, the really scary part, is that an agent creates consequences that outlive the initial instruction you gave it.
It just keeps going. Like, you tell it to remodel the kitchen, and it starts ordering appliances, hiring subcontractors, knocking down
Yeah,
walls.
it is out there operating and spending money long after you gave the command.
Which means the central question of AI fundamentally changes.
Yes.
Because agents can do all these things, we are no longer asking, is this model impressive?
Right. The only question that matters for enterprise or government uses is this delegation governable?
Like, can you actually control the contractor who currently holds your credit card?
Exactly.
Which brings up a frankly terrifying thought. If we have these agents running wild, making plans, spending budgets, how on earth do we rein them in?
Well, the paper proposes a structural solution for this, which it calls the control plane.
The control plane.
It's an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
The control plane is basically the infrastructure layer that sits right between the agent's brain and the real world.
Kind of like a mediator.
Yeah, exactly. The author argues that we need explicit identities for agents and for the sub-agents they spawn.
Because they can create their own little helper agents.
Right. And we need explicit trust scopes rather than just, like, implied permissions. And most importantly, we need policy decision points located at what the text calls the doing boundary.
The doing boundary. Okay, so meaning the exact moment the agent attempts to take an action, like logging into a server or retrieving sensitive data.
Or invoking a third-party tool or messaging another agent.
Right. At that exact boundary, there is a system actively checking its authority.
Yes.
Okay, let me pause here and challenge this a bit. Because my brain immediately goes to standard IT infrastructure.
Sure.
When you talk about explicit identities and trust scopes and permissions, isn't this exactly what my IT security department already does? Like,
right.
I have a login, right? I have two-factor authentication, specific admin privileges, and I hit a firewall if I try to, say, access the payroll system.
Right.
Why is an AI control plane radically different from just standard IT credential management?
That is the exact friction point where legacy systems fail.
It really comes down to two things, speed and autonomy.
Okay.
Standard identity and access management assumes a human brain is driving the mouse, right?
Right. A person is at the keyboard.
Yeah. And a human logged into a system has physical limits on how fast they can click or type. If you make a mistake, or if a hacker compromises your account, the damage happens at human speed.
Which is relatively slow.
Exactly. An AI agent, however, moves at machine speed.
I see. So if I hand an agent my standard user credentials, it's not just me acting faster. It's a completely different threat profile.
Completely different. It could try 10,000 API calls in the time it takes you to blink.
Wow.
Yeah, because machine executed authority operates in loops, and at massive scale, standard rate limiting or like static permissions just aren't enough. You need joint control plane authority.
So what does that look like in practice?
The control plane has to instantly enforce budgets, and not just financial money, but compute budgets.
Right. It needs containment protocols, signed traces of every micro decision, and instantaneous replay and rollback capabilities.
So standard IT locks the front door, but an AI control plane has to actively mediate every single micro action the agent takes inside the house in real time.
Perfectly said. Yeah.
And this isn't just theoretical architecture, right? The government's signals clearly validate that this is the new reality.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Look at NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Yeah, their AI Agent Standards Initiative.
Right. And specifically, their January request for information on agent security.
Yeah.
They're explicitly targeting agents that affect external states.
They're actively demanding to know about continuous monitoring and human oversight for consequential actions.
Because the conversation at the highest levels has officially moved. And you can see that evolution playing out practically in NIST's 800 series documents.
Which the paper talks about.
Yeah, and this sequence is incredibly revealing about where the industry is being forced to go.
Yeah.
So NIST AI 802 pushes for validity and reproducibility in automated benchmark evaluations.
Yeah, which is basically making sure lab tests aren't just flukes.
Exactly. But then 803 takes it a step further. It pushes evaluators to formalize those measurement targets statistically.
Let's explain what that means for the listener. Statistical formalization.
It means you can't just run an agent through a test once, watch it succeed, and declare it safe.
Right.
You have to prove mathematically that it behaves safely across a vast curve of probabilities and edge cases.
Which is much harder. And that sets up 804, where the real paradigm shift happens, right?
Yes. 804 shifts the focus almost entirely away from lab scoring and directs attention heavily onto post-deployment monitoring.
Because a lab is a static environment.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how statistically perfect the agent is in the lab if it behaves completely differently once it's out in the messy, unpredictable real world.
And NIST is pairing this new measurement science with actual procurement muscle, too.
Yeah, they have a memorandum of understanding with the GSA, the General Services Administration, tying these evaluations directly to procurement through USAI.
And they also have a cooperative research and development agreement, a CRADA, with OpenMind.
Which is huge.
Let's clarify why OpenMind is involved there. It's because of secure evaluation methods, right?
Yeah, because sometimes you can't just hand over a proprietary model or highly sensitive data to an auditor.
Right. The tech companies would never allow that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you need cryptographic methods to audit a system's safety without exposing the underlying intellectual property or, like, classified data. They're building the infrastructure to evaluate trust while a system is actually operating.
And DARPA is pushing this from the research side, too, with their AI Forward initiative.
Oh, yeah, they are focusing on foundational theory, AI engineering, and human-AI teaming.
The text states their goal is to build trustworthy systems that operate reliably in contested real-world environments.
But trustworthiness only becomes real when it has an engineering surface. You know, a trustworthy system isn't just one that is polite.
Right. It's not just a friendly chatbot.
No, it's a system whose authority is strictly bounded. Its actions are mediated, its evidence is retained.
And crucially, it's designed from the ground up so that a single failure doesn't cascade into a mission scale event.
Exactly.
Okay, so we know we need these heavy duty breaks. We know the government is actively demanding them. But if the agent is making like a million decisions a second,
yeah,
a human obviously cannot sit there approving every single one. That defeats the purpose.
Completely.
So how does the system automatically know what it is allowed to do without ruining its own autonomy?
That is the core engineering challenge. And it leads to the author's major addition to the field, which is a framework called the action reversibility profile.
The action reversibility profile.
Yes. And the fundamental philosophy here is brilliant in its simplicity. Not all actions are equal.
Okay.
And our architectures need to stop pretending that they are.
So we are moving away from a basic binary, like allow or deny permission system, and moving toward a spectrum of consequences.
Right. The text lays out four distinct buckets for classifying the actions an AI takes.
And it stresses that these classifications have to be coded directly into the control plane itself. Like, the system needs to inherently know which bucket an action falls into before it takes it.
Exactly. So let's walk through those four buckets. The first one is reversible.
Okay, reversible.
These are actions that can be automatically undone by the system with high confidence.
So for a real-world enterprise example, say an agent deletes a local file while cleaning up a directory. That is reversible.
Right. The control plane knows it can just automatically pull it out of the digital trash bin if something goes wrong. No harm done.
Got it. What's the second bucket?
The second bucket is compensable. These are actions that cannot literally be rolled back in time, but they can be corrected through a defined automated compensation path.
Like, say an agent accidentally overpays a vendor for a service.
Exactly. The money has already left the account. You can't unsend it.
Right. But it is compensable because the system can automatically trigger a refund request or issue a credit. It has a built-in mechanism to fix the mistake.
Spot on. Then we hit the friction point with the third bucket, which is irreversible.
Irreversible. This sounds like the dangerous one.
It is. These are actions whose consequences cannot be practically reversed or easily compensated for.
Okay.
Because of that reality, they require significantly tighter gating, much stronger evidence trails, and almost always explicit human authorization.
Right. Like if the agent wants to email a highly sensitive internal trade secret to a public server.
Yes. Or if it wants to physically alter the cooling system in a data center.
Yeah, that is irreversible. Once the data is out there, it's out there. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Exactly. And finally, you have the fourth bucket, which is prohibited.
Prohibited.
These are actions the system is simply never permitted to take under any circumstances, no matter what authorization it thinks it has.
It's a fantastic framework. I mean, it directly answers the questions NIST is asking right now about the current state of what they call undoes, rollbacks, or negations for unwanted AI trajectories.
Yeah, and what's crucial to understand here is that reversibility isn't just a nice-to-have safety feature, you know?
Right.
It is an operational tempo pattern.
Wait, explain what you mean by operational tempo pattern.
Think about the physics of it. The faster a system is capable of acting, the faster it must be able to stop, contain a problem, and recover.
Ah, so better brakes let you drive faster.
Exactly. If your agent is operating at incredible speeds, your ability to roll back its actions must be equally fast. If every action requires a human to review it, you lose the advantage of the AI.
You bottleneck the whole thing.
Right. But if the control plane knows an action is reversible or compensable, it can let the agent run at full speed. It only hits the brakes for the irreversible actions.
That makes total sense. So the theory is incredibly sound. We have the frameworks and the profiles. But theory doesn't change a multi-trillion dollar industry.
No, it doesn't.
How do you actually force these massive tech companies and developers to build this way?
Well, the author argues that the mechanism for change isn't regulation alone. It's how the government spends its money.
Procurement is policy.
Procurement is policy, and the text points to the Air Force's Prometheus flame draft as this kind of masterclass in how procurement is changing to force the industry's hand.
So what does this all mean for the people building this stuff? Let's dig into that Prometheus flame draft.
Sure.
Because the Air Force isn't just running a standard demonstration procurement here.
No, in a standard demo, a vendor comes in, shows off a closed proprietary software stack, a black box.
Right. Proves it works once, gets a massive check, and leaves.
Which is completely useless for long-term governance. Instead, the Air Force is engaging in what the text calls buying for inheritance.
Buying for inheritance meaning what exactly?
They are demanding open source implementations. They want permissive licensing, public repositories, and CI/CD artifacts.
Let's translate CI/CD for a second for anyone who might not know. Continuous integration and continuous deployment.
Right.
It's essentially the software engineering factory floor. It's the automated assembly line where code is tested and deployed. So the Air Force doesn't just want the finished car. They want the blueprints to the assembly line.
They are buying the paved road. The author emphasizes that the most important artifact in this kind of acquisition isn't the single piece of software that flies one time in a demo.
Right.
It is the reference implementation. It's the starter kit. Mm-hmm. It's the paved road that other development teams across the government or even the private sector can inherit and extend without needing privileged access to the original builder's proprietary secrets.
And that solves the speed problem we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Because at machine tempo, policy can no longer remain static prose. You can't hand an AI agent a PDF of a compliance rulebook and expect it to, like, read it and adhere to it.
No, the policy has to be executable code. It has to be versioned, testable, and continuously verified.
So by buying for inheritance, the government is basically forcing the creation of an open, durable ecosystem where these control planes are baked into the very substrate of the technology from day one.
That's the goal. The strategic advantage in the next decade is not simply having AI. I mean, everyone is going to have AI.
Right.
It's not even about having the smartest model. The advantage goes to whoever can field governed autonomy at mission tempo.
It means you have the power to delegate massive amounts of complex work to agents without ever surrendering your own authority.
Yes.
You move incredibly fast, but you never sever the provenance or lose control of the system.
And to actually get there, BOAS lays out 5 very concrete next steps for the industry.
Let's walk through those because they are basically the blueprint for this new architecture. Step one.
Standardize authority, not just interfaces.
That's a vital distinction. An interface standard is just agreeing on the shape of the plug, like a USB-C cable.
Right. But an authority standard is entirely different. It's like a passport with specific visas attached. We need standards that carry identity and deeply delegated permissions across different systems.
Okay, step 2.
Step 2, make conformance machine checkable. If a safety standard cannot be mathematically tested by a machine, it's just a story we tell ourselves. It has to be verifiable in the code.
It has to be math. Okay, step 3.
Step 3, treat rollback as a first-class design property.
Meaning the ability to undo an action has to shape the architecture from day one. Okay. It cannot be bolted on as an afterthought once the agent is already deployed and causing problems.
Absolutely not. Step 4, collapse procurement, evaluation, and operations into one continuous evidence loop.
So the evidence that a system is safe should flow seamlessly from the initial code commit into testing through deployment and continuously into real-world sustainment.
Right. It is never done being evaluated.
And finally, step 5.
Step 5. Fund open substrates and maintainers.
You have to actually pay the people building the paved road.
Yes. The government and major enterprises have to fund the center of the ecosystem, the open reference implementations, and the actual human beings who maintain them.
To keep the entire foundation governable over time.
It is a massive structural shift. And looking at all of this, this raises an important question, a deeply provocative question that every leader, developer, and organization really needs to sit with.
Well, what is it?
If the future is going to be won by the institutions that learn how to govern delegated authority, what happens to the organizations who are currently handing over the keys to AI agents without building a control plane first?
Wow. Yeah. What irreversible actions are happening right now as we speak by systems that don't even know how to apologize, let alone roll back their mistakes?
It's a sobering thought.
It really is. If we think back to that visual at the very beginning, that glowing, boundless, chaotic, cosmic cloud of AI capability,
Yeah. It
is stunning. And it is full of potential. But you would never want to fly a ship through it without a highly sophisticated navigation system, a distress beacon, and a very, very reliable set of brakes.
The generative models gave us the stars, but it is the control plane that will actually let us explore the galaxy safely.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the architecture of the tools you interact with every day, and we'll catch you next time.